This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tonight is game number 5 of the NBA Finals. Now our friend, NBA analyst Tim Capstraw, is joining us in studio once again. Capper, good morning.
Good morning, DA.
I saw this stat that if a series is tied 2-2, the winner of game 5 wins the NBA championship 75% of the time. That, though, doesn't feel to me to be very significant because, duh, if you win game 5, you only have to win one game to win a title. The other team has to win 2 games to win a title. So, yes, your odds would be much higher to win a championship, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, great breakdown right there. I like that a lot. Yes, that makes that cleaned it up very well for me right there. You know what's amazing about this series? It's like the moment you think one team has got it kind of under control, like, all right, Boston are up 2-1. You feel good. They got another game at home. They're really taking control. They seem too physically superior. And then here come the Warriors winning this game. It's been this 2-2 has been really, really enjoyable so far. And it's just exciting to see what's going to happen in the next few games.
Give me the coaching thoughts on what the Celtics are doing with Steph Curry. It feels as though they're saying, we want to lock down everybody but Steph. We realize Steph is going to get his. We're going to lay off Steph just a little bit. And assume he can't explode for 45 points every night. But he did that in game number 4, but it's almost like they're challenging him or daring him to take a million shots. What's the thought there?
Well, the thought is that you're not wrong. You're not wrong. What the Warriors do incredibly well is they play the beautiful game. They move the ball. They screen and move. And if they play, and what has gone on is that the Warriors have seen that the Celtics are very physical, very strong, and they had difficulty doing that. So they said, let's get the ball in the hands of Steph Curry. And the Celtics then had to make a decision. If they're going to play high pick and roll a lot, right, how are we going to guard this? Are we willing to live with Steph Curry coming around, and we're going to somewhat challenge his shots, going to chase from behind, being what they call drop coverage with a big man. So they're exactly what you said. So they're kind of playing it 2-on-2 and then staying at home with everybody else. So think about other years. Other years, everybody would say, boy, Steph Curry, if he comes off a screen, we better trap that. We better go trap that. And think about how great Draymond Green was in those series, because he would be the guy setting the screen to get it to him in the middle, and then he would be kind of like a point guard, and then everybody would be involved. So it's exactly what you're saying. They're willing to say, let's play this with two guys and try to see how well we can do. And if Steph Curry can keep doing this, well, you know, we'll have to wait and see or possibly adjust. Now, they did adjust at times during the game. They switched a few times. They did a trap a few times. But generally speaking, they are saying that right now, and that is the big question. Would you continue to do that if you're the Celtics? You know, would you continue to just stay in this coverage and play it this way? Can Steph Curry keep doing this to this level is the big, big story from the defensive side.
So is this because Draymond is so poor right now offensively and that Klay isn't quite what Klay was before the injuries that the Celtics can afford to take these types of chances?
Well, they're doing this because the Warriors went to this. You know what I mean? They didn't anticipate. They're playing this this style of defense because they're not guarding all the other stuff the Warriors do. The Warriors decided to simplify and just get the ball in Steph's hands. So this is why they're doing that. It's really interesting to see to me right now that Boston defensively or offensively is staying the course at everything they want to do. And yet Steve Kerr and the Golden State went from, well, we're going to do all this passing and movement. No, we're not going to do that anymore. And no, we're not going to be afraid to change our lineups. We're not going to be afraid to take Draymond Green out of the game late, put Otto Porter in to start the games. They are shuffling the deck. They're moving it around. They're throwing everything against the wall to get. They got it to 2-2 right now. And you got one guy, one organization, and one coaching staff saying, let's keep on throwing different things out there and see what we got and keep dancing. And we got Boston, who's just staying the course and trying to stay steady. And I find it fascinating.
Tim Capshaw joins us in studio, breaking down tonight's game number 5 of the NBA Finals. How to put your finger on why Draymond is so ineffective? Because he's not good defensively either, which is kind of shocking.
Well, he's still solid defensively. Yeah, he hasn't been great. He's had some trouble with Jaylen Brown. He hasn't been great. He's been taken out. Obviously, game 2, he was incredibly impactful when he came out. Exactly what we talked about before. If the ball isn't moving in the Warriors' offense, Draymond can't do much. He stands in a corner, and then his man plays right in the paint because he can't shoot. But because they're playing a different style offense right now, where they're isolated and playing at high screen and roll. Draymond is brilliant at getting the ball, almost being like a point guard out there, moving around, passing, handing it off, moving the ball side to side. That type of offense is not going on for the Warriors, so he's not impactful in any way offensively. He's really not doing well. He might get an offensive rebound and kick it out, but he's a guy that you can play off for right now. And because the ball isn't moving, he's not able to do his thing on offense. And you're right. His defense has been good, and he's been, and give him credit, in the last game, when he came back in the game, he made some important plays, but, I think it was smart to get him out of the game, get Looney in there, get a little more scoring, and that won him the game.
Do you buy the theory that right now Draymond could be distracted by other stuff, being an agitator, fighting with the crowd, fighting with Cedric Maxwell, trying to do a podcast after all of these games? Some people think that he's just consumed with that and that's hurting his basketball.
No, I think it's more the style. I think it's the style that the Warriors said they cannot play. The Boston Celtic defense is really good against all our movement of the basketball and our player movement. We want to get the ball in Steph Curry's hands, and that is what's really just slowed down his game immensely.
What do you think about Jason Tatum's series so far? Because he's been good, not great, and he can be explosive and can carry the offense, but he hasn't had a great game yet. What do you attribute that to?
Well, I think Andrew Wiggins. I think Andrew Wiggins may come out of this series with a different reputation. I think he's starting to build it already. And that you are exactly right, and I think that has got to be the difference in these next 3 games for the Celtics. He's shooting 45% from 3. He's moved the ball well. But as series goes on in the playoffs, you always talk about analytics and you don't want to have a mid-range game. Well, you got to have a mid-range game with your most talented players when it comes playoff. You got to score any way you can. After 4 or 5 games, everybody knows everything. Your great player has got to be able to make a play. And his shooting percentages inside the three-point line are horrific right now, about 25%. He's 7-for-14 right at the rim, but he's way below everything else from about 10 feet to about 20 feet out there, and he hasn't been able to do anything. It has been Wiggins has done a very good job. Other guys have played him at times, but the help has gotten more intelligent on him. They've been there. They're showing him bodies. But in game 3, they showed bodies towards Tatum too early, and he got rid of the basketball, and guys were able to knock down shots. They provided appropriate help to Andrew Wiggins on Tatum, and Wiggins has been good. He's affected his shots, and I think that is a huge, huge story of this series. And if Tatum struggles in the next few games, I think Wiggins has got to get a lot of credit.
When Wiggins was in Minnesota, he was a number 1 overall pick, but I don't think he had what appeared to be potential to be a great defensive player. they unlocked something at Golden State. When you were doing games and watching early version of Andrew Wiggins, could you see the potential in him to become this type of player?
Well, I just don't know that defense was a priority for him right then. If you're a number one pick, they want, and you're at a, you know, place like Minnesota, they want numbers, they want points, they want scores. I think when you get into an organization that has such a winning culture, it just rubs off on you, and you want to be part of the group. And he certainly has the athletic stats that make for a great defensive player. That 6'8", rangy, bouncy, athletic kind of player really fits well. And he's establishing himself. And not just that. Think about how he helped them on the offensive backboard in the last game, and he's helped them throughout the series. I think you know, sometimes people are just miscast, and you know, maybe he's not. You get number one pick, you get all these expectations. I just find that this is the perfect place for him. But I have a feeling he's getting more. Well, I not have a feeling. He's getting more and more appreciated every game.
What'd you see from Ime Udoka this season once they turned it around? Because early in the year when they're sub 500, the Celtics are wondering, boy, is this the right guy? Celtics fans, at least, were wondering, sure, is Udoka the right guy? And somehow, some way, the Celtics turned into a machine after January and are now two wins away from a championship. So did Udoka morph at all? Did he evolve at all? Or it just, for some reason, wasn't being put together as well early in the season?
Yeah, no, I mean, you got to be right there out day in and day out to really give an accurate thing. But I think he just has he's an impressive guy. I mean, he just stands on the sideline and he's, you know, he's got, you know, he worked with Popovich a lot of years, right? He's brutally honest with guys. That doesn't mean he's demeaning, but he's brutally honest. And I remember his opening press conference. He said, you know, oftentimes guys get a job. Oh, this is my dream job. I'm so happy to be here. The tradition of Boston Celtics. You know what Udoka said on his opening press conference? We don't pass the ball enough. How about that? In his opening, we got to pass the ball more. So think about the evolution of Jaylen Brown, or Jason Tatum especially, and the way that they kind of went about the way they played the game in the last couple of years as opposed to this year, and how they've played together. They've mixed in other players. They've given Udoka's done a very smart thing, I think, by giving the ball to Marcus Smart and saying, you're our leader. And you know something? You're not going to impress me by scoring either. Show me how you can play the all-around game and be a leader. For years, they were hunting for a point guard. Right, Kyrie, Kemba, Dennis Schroeder. No, let's give the ball to Marcus Smart. He can be our leader. Listen, I think this guy's done just a brilliant, brilliant job of coaching. And it hasn't. And it's been coaching. I mean, he's got a toughness about him. And not a screamer, not necessarily how much he screams or yell, but man, he's somebody you don't mess with. He just got that. I kind of like it. And he's got them playing really good basketball.
Sure does. Tim Kapstra, NBA analyst, joins us in studio talking about tonight's game 5 of the NBA Finals. You touched on Jaylen Brown, but Jaylen's been, he's been outstanding in this series.
Yeah.
He's been outstanding both slashing into the basket, but also defensively. He's so quick and he's so long. What's been your thumbnail on Jaylen Brown and his value to the Celtics in this series?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, certainly game one, he's dominated the fourth quarter. There have been times where he's been a dominant player and probably a reason why they have two wins. He's just a super talent. He's played very well. He can be a bit erratic from three at times, but I think he shot the ball pretty well. His ability to attack the basket is really important. I think the Celtic team, and you saw this even in the last game, they do have issues in clutch time. You know what I mean? The crunch time, down the last 3-4 minutes of games. And I was, he made a strong move to the basket. He can make plays, but there are also other times, you know, that I also thought Klay Thompson stepped up his defense on him. Draymond's guarded him some. So, again, this series just keeps going back and forth. I know he's played very well, but there are times it just keeps going back and forth. And this is why it's, you know, it's 2-2, and it's a real 2-2 because, man, you think one team is going got control of this series, and then the moment you think that, go opposite. You know, it's like Seinfeld. It's like Costanza. You know, go opposite. Whatever you're thinking, go opposite. Because it feels that way. You know, like, oh, they're going back to Golden State. They're in great control. They're in great control. They got home court. Be careful. Be careful, because you just don't know. There's a ton of twists and turns in this series.
Capper, we've heard so much about Zion wanting to leave New Orleans, unhappy with the franchise, isn't playing for the Pelicans, wants a deal somewhere else, and yet over the weekend, Zion said, quote, I want to be here. That's no secret. I feel like I've stood on that when I've spoken. It was a long year for me to rehab and mental battles, but I'm fine now. I'm ready to get to work. Are you surprised that Zion said he wants to sign an extension with the Pelicans, quote, of course, I wouldn't be able to sign it fast enough? Are you surprised by that?
Well, it's amazing what a difference a year makes, right? I mean, the Pelicans came on this year. They were a good franchise. Willie Green did a very good job coaching them. The trade for CJ McCollum gave them not only a good player, but a great leader.
Yeah,
his personality permeates throughout that team, throughout the organization. David Griffin is their president. They've got a pretty good thing going right now, and Brandon Ingram really came on. So I think Zion probably sees this. The grass isn't greener. I got an opportunity here. And now it's his turn. Now it's his time to show what he can do. The team has evolved very well. I'm anxious to see what type of condition he is in. I think that, again, it's one thing to have a coach. It's another thing to have a GM or a president. When you have a player with, I think the CJ McCollum thing is a really good, not, it's obvious it's good for the organization. I think it's going to be great for Zion.
So you think this was really the product of the Pelicans turn of the corner becoming a winner?
Feels like that, doesn't it? I mean, it feels like that. I think that's what players look at, and they see that, hey, listen, not only were they pretty good this year, but what, you know, you put me into that group right now. And if I'm committed and I'm going, we're a dangerous team. And I think they probably likes the coach, too. Willie Green did a really good job.
Well, I'm happy to hear that because, I mean, the Pelicans put all of their eggs in the basket of Zion Williamson. And Zion feels like he can be great if he's on the floor. He's just not on the floor. And for him to leave what feels like a really good, exciting young team with a good coach, as you said, would really be a shame. So I hope that he signs there. What do you see from Zion when he has been on the floor?
Nah, he's such a unique talent. What an incredible, explosive, you know, it's about matchups in the NBA, and I don't know how you match up with that guy. And you see, watch the playoffs right now. Everybody's trying to get the ideal matchup to create the advantage, to force a second defender over, to get the ball moving. Well, Zion, you just don't know who to put on him, right? I mean, if you got somebody tall and lean, he's just going to power right through him. A smaller guy, he's unique, and he's agile, and he can get to spots on the floor. But he's got to be out there, right? He's got to be out there. I would be curious to see what the regimen is. I mean, I would be, you know, the nutrition. It seems like he looks in better shape right now. He's obviously naturally not going to be a thin guy. But if he can really control that part, one of these guys with lower body injuries, let's be honest, weight is a big part of it. It can be a big part of it. I would bet he's going to be on the right track. Every, you know, you see different pictures of him. Some of these guys, they change in a week. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Or I don't know what, you know, but I think that he's on the right track right now.
The problem is all of the delicious buffets these guys have.
I tell you, there is food
all over the place. You go onto a charter flight, and they got all types of food wherever you're flying. And then you land, and there's all types of dinners at the team facility. And then they got practice food. They got lunch food. They got breakfast food
at
the
hotel. They do have chefs, though, right? So they really do. Yeah. I mean, they have chefs at the facilities. They do. I was always impressed, you know, traveling with the Nets. I mean, how the guys eat is a big deal. I mean, guys are different now. You know, like, you know, things change since I've been, you know, 20 years I've been, was doing some flying around the country. I mean, I can't get a darn candy bar. You know what I mean? I'm looking for a burger, No, the players are serious. You know what I mean? I'm in the back of the pie sitting in first. By the way, I get the last seat. I am almost on a wing. You know what I mean? So, but anyway, I'm looking for Buffalo wings. I'm looking. What happened? What happened? So I think there's a different mentality in the this time. You know, when they get on their own, but I think it's so important.
So 20 years ago, you're watching NBA guys, and they're eating burgers and buffalo wings. And 20 years later, they're trying to eat salmon and grilled chicken.
Yeah, or that's what's served to them. You know what I mean? That is what's provided to them. And I think it's really, I think there's just so much knowledge out there for these guys. And they've become these individual corporations. That's something that there aren't that many controllables you have in your life, right? One of them is, am I going to eat that? I should know. Am I going to have that burger and six beers, or am I going to eat some salmon? You know what I mean? Like, yeah. So I think that that has been part of the evolution of professional athletes, and it certainly is involved in the NBA, and I think it becomes really important for players. And some of them even, now they have them at facilities, they have them on planes, and when they go, some guys, you know, they have it even at, In their home life, they monitor everything they do.
What do you think about the Darvin Ham hire for the Lakers?
Great. I just like the idea that journeymen or guys that were like role players went around the league, had to earn it all the time, weren't necessarily stars, then you grind it out. Then they weren't really given anything, but they went on and been assistant coaches a number of places. And found their way. I'm talking about Ime Udoka right now. I'm talking about Willie Green. And I'm talking about Darvin Ham. I think that is the mix. You always say that about all sports, right? You know, sometimes the great players, they don't necessarily make great coaches. No.
Rarely.
Yeah, well, think of Darvin Ham. I remember his game. He was just a grinder, man. He was like a 6'5 power forward who just found a way. Ime Udoka went to the University of, Portland. He found his way in the NBA. Willie Green was a tough guy, University of Detroit, and just found. But didn't they play like 5-6 teams? And then they say, I want to be a coach. Well, then they know it takes 7, 8, 9 years. How do you not root for these guys? And then they have the credibility with the other guys in the league. They develop these quality reputations. And you know something? They're prepared. They're prepared, and they're ready to go. Is the Lakers situation unique and maybe difficult? Yeah, but you know, he could have said that about the Celtics this year. You just got to come in there, establish yourself. Obviously, if he's going to be coaching a guy like LeBron James, you got to have the give and take. You got to have a little bit. The modern coach is like that. But he's going to be knowledgeable. He's got to, he presents himself. I don't know him, but you know of people. And his reputation is outstanding.
We've got about a minute before break. What's on a Capper hamburger?
Anything I can get.
Anything?
No, I like everything. I like everything.
Lettuce, tomato, onion?
I will do that.
Bacon?
No, not as much. I can, but I don't love that. That's a little bit overdoing it. But
barbecue sauce or ketchup?
Ketchup.
Mayo?
No. God, man, I'm not a mayo guy.
Pickles?
Could be. Boy, yeah, this is boy, my preparation for coming in here. You never know what you're going to get when you come in here. It's like a blind date coming in here.
It should be more predictable. I know you and I know each other, but
it doesn't matter. But that's not.
Milkshake?
If you're asking me, no. If you're asking me about hamburgers, that shouldn't throw me off. Let's be honest. Listen, if I can't ask you what's on your burger, get a life, pal. Yeah.
Tim Capshaw, the Capper, joining us in studio. Always good, man. Thanks so much.
All righty, great time.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.